magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Happy October 2nd, everyone. It's Friday, October. I'm still looking at the September, so I just got to try to do this without the calendar. There we go. Okay, it's October 2nd. You know, I'm just like, oh, that day is it? Okay, it's Friday, 2015. Our tendency on Fridays is to go through the book of Acts, portions of it, verse by verse, and we'll do that in 1 second. But I want to announce tonight's the second night in a special old-fashioned hymn sing and preaching down in Arthur, Illinois. It's at the Otto Center. OTTO Center, 2058 Country Road, 1800 East. Basically, if you get to Arthur, there's only one four-way stop, I believe. It's right past the high school. It's Route 133, and if you go south on 133, about a half a mile, you'll come to the Otto Center, and at 7 p.m., there'll be some hymns sung, and there'll be some preaching by Duke Duvall. And it began last night, but it's like two different messages. It's basically about not telling God how big your storm is, but telling the storm how big your God is. And this will be an encouraging message by the guest minister, Duke Duvall, from the Light of the World Ministry. So if you have questions or need directions or more information, you can call Lloyd at 217-273-0751. 217-273-0751, an old-fashioned hymn sing and preaching at the Otto Center in Arthur. Now, as we were looking at this passage, I mean, I don't know, we spent about a minute saying, okay, where are we in the book of Acts? You said chapter 17, and you said probably beginning around verse 21.
No, chapter 19.
Oh, okay. I put it there. Okay, so it's 19.
But you could read that. Read what you read from 17.
Okay. I'm going to read something from chapter 17, but we're going to be in chapter 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like this verse. It's verse 21 of chapter 17. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Gosh, that sounds like that could be written today, be in today's newspaper. So we're now in chapter 19. What verse will we be beginning at?
Roughly verse 21, but we'll start in 20.
Verse 20.
Jesus, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for that it is truth, that it is good and profitable for us in our walk of godliness and holiness. We thank you that we can look to it and look upon it in any situation, that there are answers that are above and beyond us in it, that we can actually seek the wisdom of God through this revealed word, and that it is living and breathing. We thank you that it's not flat on a page, but that it moves and it flows and it speaks and it breathes to us, that it gives us life, and that it also convicts us of places where we're touching death. And so, Father, we ask that you, through this word, would work powerfully through us, first and foremost in squashing any kind of self-developed truths that we have, but mostly just declaring to us your truth, the truth that we find only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in his mighty name. Amen.
So do you think we sometimes make Scripture say what we want to say? Part of your prayer?
I certainly think that we do. But it was really interesting because, to preface kind of the conversation, when we got together, Mark said, well, where are we at? Like you said, it's just a minute conversation. Where are we at? And I think I said we're in 19. But he flipped open to 17 and he began to read this verse, the verse that he already shared. And I kind of smiled. First of all, I smiled because I'm looking at my page and going, where the heck is that at? Now, I know I use the ESV and he uses the NIV. So I thought maybe there's a translatory issue here. But I'm looking at him realizing that he's in a different place than I'm in, but that it was exactly what needed to be said. Because where we start in 20 today, we left off last time earlier in chapter 19, the last few weeks, talking about walking in the fear of the Lord and talking about how all the people in Ephesus burned all their books and burned all their pagan things once they heard the power of the gospel. And this comes after the seven sons of Sceva get the pants beat off of them by these demons. And when they burned all their books, I mean, some of us don't understand really what in the economy of man that was. But I wrote a notation in my Bible that that's roughly $48,000 or 79,372 goats, because back then goats were a method of economy far and above money. But still, in those days, imagine $48,000. You would be rich forever in the economy of the Ephesians back then. And so they burned all their pagan things upon hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what God does. When God comes through the person and work of Jesus in the gospel, he reorders our life and orders it back towards how it should be, where all that stuff and things don't matter to us anymore. We see evil and darkness for what evil and darkness is, and where we live in a space of grace, knowing that we're loved far and above anything can love us by God himself. And in verse 20, we see what the outpouring of all this action is. It says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. And I could just stop right there, and we could just kind of have a, we could do just as I am, all 21 verses. Yeah. But we could just stop right here, because it says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Do you need to hear that today? Do you need to hear the fact that the word of the Lord is not weak? The word of the Lord doesn't lose. The word of the Lord, even though it may seem that in culture or in situations in your life where you're losing or you're feeling defeated, that the word of the Lord continues. It doesn't fail. It increases. And not only does it increase, but it increases and prevails mightily. If we were to look at Scripture, and I just flip back to my concordance here, this is the same word that came to Abram. This is it says, the man lives by every word that comes. The word of the Lord proves true. I've stored up your word in my heart. Your word is a lamp to my feet, but a good word makes him glad. And listen to me, friends, the word became flesh. Holding fast to the word of life, whatever you do in word and deed, rightly handling this word of truth that's been given to you, preach the word and be ready. So you're rightly handling it, but also ready to preach it. And those of you who are saying, thank goodness I'm not a preacher, I'm off the hook. The word there is the Greek word to declare or to proclaim, which means all of us. That's a calling for every single one of us. So rightly handling this word of truth, but then also ready to share it no matter what season. That means when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling run down, when you're feeling all of these things, you don't just get to share the word of the Lord when you're feeling good. Sometimes it might be where you're struggling and where you're having trouble, but be doers of the word and not hearers. But the word of the Lord, it says in 1 Peter 1:25, remains forever. It increases, it prevails, and it moves mightily, and it will last forever. That, my friends, is where you have assurance, because if the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, then it is absolutely important that the word would endure forever, because that means that you have the full assurance that you will reside with that word, that living logos, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. And therefore, death no longer has its sting. Jesus is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. Why? Because he's the same once he reveals himself to you. He doesn't change tomorrow. He doesn't become something different later on. And so Jesus is the same, and he's eternal. But for our purposes today, because of the very passage that, so as Mark was reading that passage wrongly in 17, but rightly in God's providence and God's economy, I was circling some of these things in my concordance that I wanted to just rattle off. And one of them that jumped in my mind was what James says. And James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourself. And see, isn't that what happened? Isn't that what those Athenians did? Those Athenians gathered together and they listened. They got their ears tickled. But then what did it say that they talked about? All the new and exciting things that are happening around them. All those new and exciting things. Didn't say that they were blown away by the word of God that they heard preached. It said that they were tickled by all the other things.
And they spent their time doing nothing.
Right. I mean,
there's no action or
right.
No
conviction. Well, and here's the thing. That's how we know that they're not discussing or being changed by the Word of God, because they're doing nothing. And the Word of God always brings you to something. The Word of God doesn't bring you to nothing. That's why James says that faith without works is dead. Now, he's not saying that you can somehow work your way into heaven. But what he's saying, though, is that if you hear the Word of God and you're not driven to do something, then you haven't heard the Word of God. Because what did the living Logos, the word of God, do? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, he looked upon them, what? With compassion. Praise God, with compassion he looked upon them, and he was moved with compassion, and that caused him to send out the apostles and disciples. He called to him those that he wanted. And so God looks upon them and sees their sheep without shepherd, and he, being the great shepherd, calls under shepherds to him and then sends them out. But I'm fearful in all of this, my friends, is that what we do is we gather together in church on the weekend like we've come to some kind of country club, and we simply hear the word, and then afterwards we drink a cup of coffee and eat some leftover donuts or whatever together. We call it fellowship, and we talk about all the newest and greatest and latest things, and then we go and we do nothing. Now, I know you're going to say, well, I don't do nothing, Jason. You don't realize how busy I am all week. I realize how busy you are all week, but what is the eternal significance to your busyness? Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're getting mad at me right now. I know that you're just upset with me right now because of what I've just said. But you know what? Let me tell you what. I'm as convicted internally as I am giving it to you externally because it is so true. What's the eternal significance of what we've done during the week? James says, but be doers of the word, not hearers, only deceiving yourself. What is the deception that happens to yourself? The fullness of who you've been called to be in Christ Jesus. You've been called to be something greater than you know. That's why, like, as Christians, if you go historically, you go to Martin Luther and you go to John Calvin and you go to the church fathers and you go all the way back, it's a long list of men who didn't know how they could do it. In their all of their biographies, Spurgeon, all of them, I mean, you know, Spurgeon was a beast in the pulpit, but if you read his biography, he would sweat bullets before he got up there, and he was nervous, and he didn't know how he was going to pull it off. And then he would rest in that. The night before he was to make the great speech, Here I Stand, Martin Luther was sitting in a room, it's in his biography and it's also in the film, sitting in a room all night long saying, oh, I can feel your foul breath upon my neck, happy devil that you would see me fail. And then Martin Luther laid low on the ground and he said, I am yours, Lord, save me. Every single one of these people didn't know how they could do what it was that they were called to do. And so what they would do is they would rend themselves to God. They would become hearers of the word, which would make them doers of the word. And they would not be deceived by who they really were and what they could really do. You know, I don't want to live, and I maybe you feel the same way, I hope you do, but I don't want to live in the smallness of who I think I am. Now, we all have grand and audacious kind of pictures of who we think we are and who we think we can become, but I'm going to tell you that probably your picture of yourself and what you think you could be is small compared to what God thinks it is. You know, I thought a long time ago, like, I'd have, like, one kid, and I thought that was going to be great, and I thought maybe I'd have two, and I'd really be hitting a home run, and now I have four, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I am rich beyond measure in something that I can't qualify, but my picture was always smaller. My picture was all, and I thought I'd have a job where I was making all kinds of money, and I thought I'd have a job where I'd be wildly successful, and I thought I'd have all these things. And you know what? I have that kind of a job. I don't make a lot of money. And largely, I think because when you do ministry right, it's overwhelming, and it's really hard, and it's really difficult, and it's long hours, and it's a lot of praying and weeping and crying for people. But I wouldn't trade it because I feel rich. I feel like, how did I come to this? I can't even believe that I'm doing this. Even though there's a lot of things in my flesh that are like, what the heck are you doing? I mean, didn't you want to make a... But you know what? God sees something different in us than we see in ourselves. And so my fear is that we're arriving on a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or Saturday night or wherever and however church happens for you, and we're just listening and we're getting our ears tickled and we're laughing and we're joking. A friend of mine sent me a message, and I re-Facebooked it a while ago. It essentially said, please don't let the best part of what you say on Sunday morning be the story, the illustration, the thing that's farthest from the Bible. Let the best things you say on Sunday morning come from the Bible. And so, you know, where in the past people would say to me, don't quote Scripture. and I would say, okay, well, how do I not quote Scripture in what I say? And then I realized, I don't care. I'm going to quote Scripture because that's such a part of my life that it becomes a part of my vernacular and how I talk and what I say, because I live and breathe and eat God's Word. I feed upon it. And so I naturally will speak it. I naturally will say it. You know, you joked, Mark, that when I was praying the hymns because I'm listening to the hymns and I'm they're getting in me. And you know, as Lockridge says, when Christ gets in you, you can't get him off of your hands. You can't get him out of your heart. You can't live without him, and you can't outlive him. And so I want to be about that. And so my fear is that we're arriving on Sunday morning, we're trying to get our ears tickled, we're laughing at all the jokes, we're waiting, we're going, gosh, I hope this preacher's funny. And our job is not to be funny. It's not a core competency on my resume. It's preach the word of God. Preach it. As Paul said, the whole counsel of God.
Well, that's what I love so much about this verse, getting back to verse 20. The word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The word of the Lord, not your words, my words, not right. The latest fad coming out of Hollywood, not the words of the popular entertainer or Fox News, not those words, the word of the Lord. That's where the right. power's at.
And so I want to encourage the Christian right now. I want to encourage it, because if you're in your church and you're going, we really want to see the church grow in faith and numbers. Numbers doesn't mean that we just want church to grow for our own, you know, our own kind of glory. It's because we want to see people saved for the sake of the gospel. We want to see people saved and transformed by the gospel. And so when your church grows, look at what does this verse say here? The word of the Lord continued to increase. So when you preach the word of God, the numbers should increase. Now there will be people who their hearts will be hardened as you preach the word of God, because they are hardened to the word of God. They want to hear your next great joke. They don't want to hear the word of God, because the word of God will convict them. But when you preach the word of God, things should grow. Now you might have difficult seasons, but things should increase, because that's what this says. We go, well, what's happening with the culture? The culture's rising up. Secularism is attacking the church. Where will our religious freedom be? Preach the gospel and preach the Bible, because it says here that you will prevail mightily. The word of the Lord prevails mightily. You're not sure how to handle that marital problem that's happening in your church. The word of the Lord prevails mightily. You're not sure what to do about children's ministry. The word of the Lord prevails mightily. You're not sure to do what to do with those people in your church who are struggling with addictions. The word of the Lord prevails mightily. No matter what you're facing, no matter what is happening, the word of the Lord prevails mightily. Got a neighbor who's frustrating you. The word of the Lord prevails mightily. You need to get out and share the word. I think that what we've done is we've gone out as Christians and we've done the same thing that we've done on Sunday morning. We've left the word in the lurch and we've gone out trying to be good shepherds and good stewards. But you can't be a good shepherd and you can't be a good steward without the word, because the word is the thing that looked upon them with compassion and called you to be a shepherd. It was the living word, the Logos. His name is Jesus Christ. And so if you go without Jesus Christ, you go powerless. You go without power. It says if somebody took the batteries and you're like, I don't know why this thing won't work. I know why it won't work.
Yes.
Because the church is founded on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Why do I just quote that hymn? Because the church is founded on the work of God. The church is the work of God. It's nothing short and nothing less. So if you don't preach the word of God and you don't preach the work of God, I don't know how you can be a part of the work of God. I am tenacious about the gospel and God's truth, that God's word is preeminent above all things. He says himself it's profitable for life and godliness. And therefore, when we arrive at church and all we're doing is kind of participating in a process of listening, and not coming to church. I wonder, I'm just going to challenge you, the radio listener, right now. I wonder what would happen if before you left for church, you prayed, God, how will you convict me of a sin in my life today? God, how will you speak to me about something that I'm struggling with? If you would actually, before you go to church, as part of maybe your preparation, you know, that where you're trying to get all the kids in the car and you're trying to shave and you cut half your face off and your wife is trying to do her hair and it's not really working. You realize you have two different colored socks on. This is my mornings almost every Sunday. The most sanctified hour, actually would say what the most unsanctified hour is, the hour before church. And that's for many people, that seems like a joke, but it's not a joke. But I wonder what would happen in that preparation process as you're getting your shoes on and your coat or your, you know, whatever it is that you're wearing to church, as you're getting ready to go to church, if you would ask God, how will you convict me in somewhere, an area that I need to change? How will you do that? And you know what? That's going to be difficult. That's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. You know what? It's really funny. And I just, you know, it's a week of truth. I think I told some truth on Wednesday's program, kind of shared some, but you know what I mean? Over the last number of months and year, the Lord has really convicted me, you know, because I'm kind of, I like to be witty. I like to be a little sarcastic at times. It's just kind of the natural way that I am and the natural way that I'm wired. But you know what? I realize that there are some people in my life who kind of run the other direction when I come because they don't want to become a victim of that. Mm-hmm. Because for some people, sarcasm is difficult. For some people, the wit is difficult. For some people, those things are hard. And so we need to see that for what it is by seeing ourselves for what we are and then moving forward, pressing into that. And so part of that comes out of, for me, my own journey comes out of asking God to change me, asking God to actually work in an area that I know is going to be difficult. And you know what? That's going to take boldness and that's going to take faith. And you know what? You will not prevail over those things in your life mightily apart from the Word of God. And so here we are, one verse.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking
and it was still it was last time's verse. I mean, we didn't even move forward. We kind of stayed static.
And we tied it into Wednesday because we talked about having to know oneself. And you're even, again, revealing for you to have that growth and the conviction is that you've spent time listening to God, introspective, you know, looking at some things or tendencies or patterns that we all have, and then are taking action because of that sanctification process. You want to be all that you've been made to be in Christ. And so that's a real healthy point where we all have to slow down enough so we can hear the Lord's voice, that we can be in His Word, that we can be around other like-minded believers, that we can be attending a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church so that our antennas are up and that we're then not only hearing, as some of these Athenians were doing, but then we're taking action.
Right, and we don't have time to talk about it today, but there are two things I would say as we kind of close out. SRN News, at some point, I would like you to be able to hear during my broadcast SRN News. But the two things are, James says to be doers of the word that you hear. And so it is very important, the word that you hear. So it is important that you're somewhere where the Bible is open and the Bible is preached and the Bible is explained and you can, and in such a way that you can get in God's Word and you can begin to understand what God's Word means, not just in a book, not just in the New Testament, but cover to cover. You can begin to understand what God has been saying across history as He's been speaking and revealing Himself to men and women, has been carrying them along. That's number one. It's important what you hear because you become the doer of that. And so, you know, I mean, if Sunday morning is five ways to love God better or three ways to be a better servant or those kinds of things, I think that's good and profitable in seasons. But I really think that we need to be in the Word because we become doers of the words that we hear. Number two is maybe you're facing something. Maybe something is really gnawing at you. Maybe that you have, like I said, maybe you have something that you're scared to death to ask God to come in and work on because you don't know how He's going to work on it. And you don't know what that means for you. Well, you'll never do any of that if you do not believe with all your heart that God's Word continues, increases, and prevails mightily. And so you need to believe that. And so maybe the beginning prayer for you this morning is, God, give me the faith to believe that Your Word can accomplish everything, that Your Word can accomplish more than I can ask and imagine. Maybe that's the first place of faith. And then ask God to plant that in your heart like a mustard seed, that you might wake up tomorrow morning and it will have grown a hundredfold, that you might go to bed tonight unsure if God's Word has power and grace and mercy and love and it will increase mightily. And you'll wake up tomorrow morning, jump out of bed and go, I know God's got it because His Word says so. Hmm. And so that might be the place where you need to start. But you have to believe that God can and will do what He says He's going to do, that His promises hold true for you and that He is mighty to accomplish them.
Hmm. I'm thinking of that one follower of Jesus that stated something like, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. You know, even if you don't have the faith, God is all-powerful and all-caring, and He will carry you along and equip you for whatever you need to accomplish or do or change or wrestle with. We serve a great and wonderful God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and see you in church on Sunday.